the cop calls out to an EMT guy.
She's conscious, but her arm looks kind of banged up.
Suddenly, there is a commotion next to me. They have cracked open the door on the driver's side to get to the driver. More flashing lights. Another ambulance. More voices.
Come look at this,
someone says, and the cop crosses to the driver's side. They have lifted the driver out and put him on a gurney. Blood has seeped across his neck, down his shirt.
He hit his head on the wheel?
That's what I thought at first, says the EMT guy.
But look. Jesus,
says the cop.
Is that?
Right, says the other man.
A bullet hole.
Suddenly, everything changes.
Ma'am,
the cop says,
I need you to step away from the car.
Cradling my arm, he helps me onto a gurney. As they wheel me over to an ambulance, I hear the crunch of broken glass. Then I see the second car, on its side, just to the left of mine. Half on, half off the road. The whole front side of it is smashed in, and slumped over the steering wheel. I know that car. I know that driver. Slowly, bits and pieces of memories start to come back. A pop, a flash of light. And then it hits me. The horror of what I've done. The two men I love, bruised, bleeding, dying, maybe dead. And dear God, it's all my fault. Chapter 1. 6 months earlier. Do you want to know the whole story? Let me start from the day when everything began to fall apart. Just an ordinary school morning. Joey is scrambling to finish his homework. Caroline is still asleep. Ben can't find his oboe. And my husband and I are arguing.
This whole oboe thing is ridiculous, Ned says, gesturing with a piece of 7-grain toast. The kid hates the oboe. He doesn't practice from 1 week to the next. And why he needs an oboe tutor?
So he can keep up with the other 4th graders, I call out from the bottom of the hall closet, on my knees, searching.
You're kidding, right? Ned yells.
But I know what he means. I've heard the school orchestra play. Even on a good day, it makes your teeth hurt. Ben stands there, Pop-Tart in hand, watching as I push aside various snow boots.
Would it kill you to help me look? I say.
Me? Why do I have to help?
From the kitchen, Ned shouts,
Because it's your damn oboe. You're the one who lost it. I left it right here on the hall table, Ben says. Donna must have put it somewhere.
Donna is the cleaning lady who shows up on Mondays, cleans her little heart out, and for the next 6 days is systematically blamed for everything that's lost or broken. Poor Donna has had more things pinned on her than our local supermarket bulletin board. I get up off my knees. Ned is standing next to me, still fuming. I know I have a choice. Let it go, as Maggie, our couple's therapist, has suggested, or push back gently.
Look, he's finally learning to play the scales properly, I say, gently.
And for that, I pay $75 a week?
$75, I add, still in my gentlest voice, is about half what you paid for the tire wearing, which incidentally seems to have a small butter stain on it.
What? Oh, for God's sake!
Ned checks his reflection in our hall mirror.
I just got this tie. It's an Armani. Here, he says,
carefully unknotting it from around his neck and draping it on the hall closet doorknob.
Drop this at the dry cleaners, will you?
He bolts up the stairs, two at a time, in search of another tie, then reappears and kisses me goodbye. His lips miss my cheek entirely. I wait to see if he notices that I have chopped 3 inches off my hair since yesterday, and I've gone from deep chestnut to honey brown. He doesn't.
Be home late again, he says,
checking his reflection one last time in the hall mirror.
Asshole client meeting that doesn't start till 6.
Then he grabs his car keys and leaves. We soon find the oboe, of